Good morning and welcome to the programme. Today, developments in the case of Carryman Sean Binder in Greece. We'll bring you the latest shortly. Why building inflation is driving up home insurance costs, Brian O'Connell explains. Many Irish people are entitled to a pension, to a UK state pension. Owen McGee has some advice on changes to that system. From Harrison Ford on the small screen to another stormer from Cate Blanchett, we'll bring you the best of the new releases to watch out for and the fallout from the resignation of Damien English. We'll discuss that and the rest of the week's news in The Gathering. Our text number is 51551. The email address is todaycb@rte.ie. And on Twitter, we are at Today with Claire. Protests against the housing of asylum seekers and immigration policies disrupted traffic in parts of Dublin and Cork again last night. Roads were blocked by a relatively small number of people who continued what is now a series of demonstrations outside buildings which are being used to accommodate people who are seeking international protection orders from Ukraine and elsewhere. I'm joined first this morning by independent councillor Vincent Jackson, who represents the Ballyfermot and Drimna local electoral area in Dublin. Vincent, you're very welcome and thanks for speaking to us this morning.
Thanks very much, Claire, for having me on this morning.
So listen, the crowds gathered outside your family home last night. Will you tell us what happened?
Well, at about 5:30 yesterday, I have a young lad, a 10-year-old son, who has very bad eyesight, like really bad. That's gone in one direction. I won't even say it here. But he broke his glasses on Monday in school. And the Specsavers rang to say that they had the glasses available. And when I left the house, my wife's car was outside and my car was in the garden. So I took my wife's car up to Livy. And unfortunately, I didn't take my phone. And the glasses were a little bit late getting ready. And I took him up to McDonald's and I took him to get his mum a birthday present, her birthday in 2 weeks' time. And we even went to Tesco because he wanted to get something in Tesco as well, a bottle of cider on it. So we got home to the house at about 7:15. And when I got to the house, I opened the door and I went in and my daughter was roaring and crying. She's 15 years of age and my wife was real upset. I said, what's it happening? And she said, there's had to be a huge crowd outside shouting and screaming and everything. And it was in relation to what you were talking about earlier on. And I'll explain that later. I'm involved in a number of schools. And I said, outside our house. And my daughter was inconsolable, I have to say. And with that, friends of mine turned up. And then it unfolded. What had happened was there was a protest down at the roundabout in Ballyfermot at 5:00 in relation to the allegation by some people that there are refugees staying in a number of schools that I just so happen of a couple of them and on the board of management of other ones of those schools. And there is no truth in this, by the way. And we put out yesterday morning information to that effect. There was no truth in it. But this protest was organised for 5:00 last night. And I believe there was a number of them around Dublin and around Ireland. There was one because I know there was a major issue last week in Our Lady of Good Counsel School as well, where there were a group of refugees staying for over the Christmas, but they were gone and all when the school reopened. But coming back to last night, apparently then came up and when they splintered off the main group when the protest was over, created massive mayhem on Ballyfermot Road. I'm sure there's a lot of people saying their prayers last night with the lawn. And travelled down to Drumfin Road to the convent and to the secondary school that they believe there's people staying in. And when that was over, apparently then...
Vincent's line is dropping in and out. It sounded like somebody else was maybe trying to phone you there. Vincent, are you back?
I am, yes.
Ah, okay. Yeah, listen, yeah. So tell me, we know about all of these protests that were happening all around the place. They came to your house at what time and stayed for how long and what did they do?
They came to my house at approximately 6:15 and they stayed for about 20-25 minutes. Bored and they shouted obscenities. They left for about 10 minutes when they went down to the convent down the road and the secondary school, and then they came back to my house again for another 10 minutes and shouted lots of obscenities, get them out. They said I was a traitor for letting them down, and and they said lots of other obscenities and what I should do with myself and everything else like that. But my family were in the home on their own in a very, very distressed situation. Mm-hmm. And I have to say, very worried that this type of behaviour has the potential to take root in our communities. This is a great community, Ballyfermot and Cherry Orchard. For all its faults, it's a wonderful place. I love living here. I've lived here all my life. I've represented the area for 32 years, and all my council colleagues were fully supportive of each other you know, what we as a society have to do in situations like this. But there is no truth, Claire, in what's being spread in relation to our schools. There's supposed to be people staying there at night, leaving at 7 o'clock in the morning. And what people are saying that, we have school meals, hot school meals in our schools. There's meals being delivered at 3 o'clock in the morning by Glanmore Foods. We had to cancel those meals last night. Two principals in with me this morning. There's a huge drop-off in attendance today because a lot of parents were not happy to send their kids over the distressing scenes, because this all started yesterday morning when there were protests outside the schools.
Okay, sorry, why were the meal deliveries cancelled?
Because we were afraid for the... We were told there's people outside the schools watching what's going on. You know, at night time, there was no telling people. We tried to explain to people yesterday that school meals are delivered, and like Caritas College just said that they weren't prepared to have meals today because they didn't want any potential threat to any of the staff delivering meals.
And like, along with that, you're saying that parents are keeping their children at home.
There were lots. One principal was only in with me 5 minutes before I commenced the conversation with you, and he said the attendance level, there's a huge drop in attendance today, and a lot of parents phoned in, said their children were very upset and distressed with what they seen yesterday, and that they weren't sending their children into school today. And I, you know, these are great schools that do a huge amount of good work for their kids.
Yeah.
And I would hope that a lot of this good work is not undone by a small few who are misguided, I have to say. Unfortunately, Claire, they're being fed information that's totally incorrect, and God himself or herself couldn't put these people on the straight and narrow.
And you've tried to talk to them, to explain to them that
absolutely
there are no refugees or asylum seekers staying in the schools, and what's the response that you get?
Well, there's a narrative out there that other people are whipping them up to don't believe anything they're being told. And I have to be honest with you. They won't mind me saying there's a group of elderly nuns were subjected to terrible abuse yesterday close by to where I work here. And they were told, we know they're in there. And I have to admire the Daughters of Charity, the sisters here in Ballyferma. You know, they have given sterile for over 70 years to the community of Ballyferma, and for elderly women to be subjected. Now, I went to all the schools yesterday after these protests happened, and I, you know, consoled the principals. I seen teachers upset and crying in corridors over what they witnessed at the gates of the school, and I would ask the people who were involved in these protests to really have a good check on what they're doing and the consequences of their actions, because I would be fearful in the future some of our newer communities, people could get hurt with people mixed up into frenzies, and there are other agendas going on here, Claire.
What about your own family after that last night? How is everybody this morning and how was the night?
Well, I suppose it sums it all up. My daughter would normally be in bed at about 9:30. She was up till 11:30 last night. She said she couldn't sleep, and I took her to school this morning. And my son, who's 11, he came down last night at 11 o'clock. He just wanted to make sure, he said to his mum, that I was still there, because he was so upset and so worried. But my wife told me she didn't sleep at all last night. So from my point of view, I hope the people who were outside my home last night are proud. I've given 32 years service to the people of Ballyfermot as an independent. I work night and day for young people, for older people. There's nothing in the area that I'm not involved in, from community development projects to schools. Good services in the country. And just to think that people would believe a narrative that's totally incorrect really upsets me, that there's no telling these people. Honest, Claire, I do get worried when I see what's happening in our country, because we have always been a very welcoming environment for people in the country as a whole. And I just fear for the future that if these groups get some sort of a log end, that they would create mayhem and confusion and use people as cannon fodder.
All right, Vincent, I'm really sorry that you had to go through that, you and your family. And I know you've been a public representative for over 30 years. You're always very open with your address and with your phone number.
Absolutely.
And this is the first time that something like this has happened.
Absolutely, absolutely. I don't, right, on any literature or business cards, I put my home phone number, my address. And you know, we were only talking as a group of councillors last week just about what's happening and what's happened in the past in Britain and what's happening in this country, how our own personal safety need to look at it. But I would ask one question before I complete. I would have wondered where the guards were, why they didn't follow this protest last night, because, you know, I would have any group of 40 to 50 or 60 people, that somebody from the guards should have been checking on these people, and that wasn't the case last night.
All right. Well, look, we'll try and get some answers on that. And Vincent, thank you very much for talking to us. As former Assistant Garda Commissioner for Dublin, Dr. Pat Leahy is on the line now. Pat, I know that you don't know about the operational matters right now, but this type of protest, how did the Gardaí police it? When does it cross the line?
Well, look, first and foremost, you must look at the basis for law in relation to protest, Claire. And it's a fundamental right, actually, here in Ireland, under the Constitution, to freedom of assembly under Article 40.6.1 of the Constitution. So it's really, really, you know, strong law in relation to this. Now, while it's not absolute, it's defended by civil liberties groups and the courts quite stringently. So that's the baseline for it. Now, then you have human rights law, the Article 11 of the European Convention on Human Rights covers it. And the actual behaviour of the police in relation to this, apart from the law itself, they're also held to the human rights principles of legality, necessity, proportionality, non-discrimination and accountability. And what they've been doing heretofore, really, the guards, that is relying on the Criminal Justice Public Order Act and generally Section 9, obstruction. And what that means is, like, you know, if the protest prevents or interrupts free passage of persons or vehicles in a public place, you can intervene. And it's almost always built around obstruction, or sometimes maybe the non-fatal offences against the person.
And what about the rights of Vincent Jackson's family, terrified in their home last night?
Yeah, that is not catered for in law in relation to protests in this country at the moment, Claire. In the UK, you can, the actual police can intervene in situations like that because they have the power to impose conditions and restrictions on protests, which in Ireland you don't. And part of those restrictions are to prevent intimidation of others. Now, we haven't gone to that space here in Ireland. In actual fact, we have quite a free reign when it comes to protests, and rightly so in some respects because it's a key democratic right. But when people push the boundaries on this, you see activities like has been described, or has been described there on the radio last night.
And in your experience, how are these police? Because the line from the Gardaí earlier in the week was that they would be monitoring these protests. And we heard some reports that there may have been plain clothes Gardaí watching those protests last night. But, you know, we have a family there who were quite clearly terrified. Vincent told us about other people in the community who are frightened, school attendance being affected, delivery of meals to the schools also being impacted. The Minister for Justice talking about whether these are protests or intimidation.
Well, you would imagine, Claire, and I would expect that there would be a uniform Garda presence at these protests, and particularly up around the private homes of individuals, so that at least people have the comfort to know that if anything happens, the guards are there and they're going to intervene and they're going to protect people. In terms of actually limiting the protest or stopping the protest or engaging, there's very little legislation there. And actually, there's no legislation in Ireland to intervene unless certain other parts of the law are breached. So the guards are kind of left in the lacuna here. And the guards, we talk about the police as if they're, you know, a single entity, but they're not. They're men and women and boys and girls, and they will be held accountable individually for pushing the boundaries of the law, stepping into an area where they have no legal right to be. So this is a far deeper question and discourse that has to take place in order to move on the legislation or change the legislation, Claire, to protect everybody in relation to this.
Pat, thank you for your time. Pat Leahy there. Now, I want to move to Nick Henderson, CEO of the Irish Refugee Council. And Nick, I want to hear this clip, first of all, before we chat. Drive Time reporter Barry Lenehan was speaking to people in Ballymun yesterday. This is a woman living there for over 35 years. Let's hear what she had to say.
It's heartbreaking for Ireland, it really is. Do you know what I mean? Like, I'm out for helping anybody at the end of the day. Same with all the Irish people there. But not grown men in their 20s and 40s that look military. Do you know what I mean? It's just ridiculous. I'm not even fleeing from war. Just people coming over for here, albino. Do you know what I mean? That's a peaceful country. Why are they running out there? Why are they coming from America as well, from Georgia and all? They're not fleeing war zones. We can understand people fleeing war zones, children and women only, but not men. Do you know what I mean?
Now, some of her facts, Nick, are simply not correct. How do you counter that kind of disinformation that she's getting from the sources that she's getting it from?
Well, it's a huge responsibility on government, I believe, to communicate with the Irish public, with Irish society and communities about why we should be giving people protection, why people are coming to Ireland to seek sanctuary and seek safety. And that's so important. And I think the clip, and I don't want to denigrate the person, but it does demonstrate that there's wildly inaccurate information being circulated, and that is then exploited by far-right groups. Is that that lady in the clip there, she's lived in that community for 35 years. She's obviously living in the Ballymun community and embedded in it. But it just shows that it is so important that we have strong communication, and that's a responsibility on government, on organizations like ours and others, to communicate with people about why we need to be giving people protection. While it's a human rights obligation, while it's an ethical obligation, and in the last year it's become an even greater reality because we have a very severe war and a deteriorating war on our doorstep in the context of Ukraine.
Nick, you speak about the government responsibility here. Some of the communities are deciding to stage counter-protests, getting together, saying that their area is welcoming to all. There are a number of groups like East Wall for All forming around the country. Is that helpful? Does it work, or does it heighten the tensions?
No, I think it very much works, because these are local people coming together in their communities from all types of different backgrounds, and showing that, and stating and demonstrating that their communities have had a history of welcoming people who are seeking refuge. They are welcoming, and I think they're really essential. And it's a really heartening process and thing for us to observe in the last very short period, really, in the last month. East Wall, Ballymun, Irish Town, Drimnagh, across the country as well, communities are coming together. And I think they're going to have quite a considerable responsibility, and we'll try and support them in this process, in engaging with people in their community who may have questions, who may have queries, who may have worries, and stating, and this is really important, stating that if you do have a concern about housing, education, resources, the people living in a hotel temporarily in Ballymun or elsewhere are nothing to do with the concerns and issues that your community is facing. They're completely unrelated. So I don't think, on the contrary, I think they're probably they're key to this process in engaging with their neighbours, bringing community leaders to the fore. I certainly don't think they're putting fire in anything. On the contrary.
All right, Nick, thank you for joining us this morning. Nick Henderson from the Irish Refugee Council. Just a couple of messages I want to bring you. I've been a member of a trade union all my life. If a union is mounting a picket or organising a protest march, they have to get the permission of the Gardaí. What is the difference? Another one, it strikes me that we have trouble ahead. Irish people should be briefed on issues relating to their communities. People fear what they don't know, and that's what's happening. The government is out of touch with people on the ground. 51551.
Text 51551 today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1.